Okay.
There we go.
We're in progress, Bob.
Absolutely. We've been in progress for years.
Yes, indeed. How was your week?
Not bad. Yeah, we actually had some sunshine and some summer weather, but we're back down to, I think, a high of what did it say? 18, 16 degrees right now. Maybe going to go to 20 degrees if we're lucky, but time will tell.
I'm just looking at my green screen is somewhat dysfunctional. So for people who are watching this, my right shoulder doesn't disappear. It's still there.
I thought I did hear the Twilight Zone music, though, but.
Well, we are living in the Twilight Zone. There's no question. So tell me, are you going to be driving to the US soon?
Well, we don't have anything planned in the immediate future, but I'll tell you, this Arrive Can app, it kind of makes you not want to go anywhere. I was reading in the local paper here today. There was a person who went down to, surprise, surprise, fill up his car with gas in the town of Blaine, right across the line from us. And when he came back after, I want to say maybe 15 minutes, right down, fill up the car, right back, he got selected for the random COVID test. And he's thinking, how is this possible? Maybe I'll get COVID from picking up the gas thing. Maybe I won't. I don't know. But I can tell you, if I had COVID, it wasn't because I picked up that gas thing. It's because I had it before I went back.
Well, the various entities that are being impacted are not very happy. The tourist people are not happy. The truckers, nobody's happy with this. I do not understand why they've decided, powers that be, to turn this app into some kind of a global border clearance technology that's now being sold as, oh, this is going to make your life easier. There's no evidence to that.
No. And I guess too, what is it? It's the four big airports, Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver for sure, that they're gonna have this thing where you can do your pre-flight clearance or you do your pre-customs clearance on the application as well. And I don't know how that's gonna work either, but
Well, I'm being a little doubtful as to I have to choose my words here, Bob, as to why they're doing this. Because, first of all, it's very clearly a consortium of technology folks that are involved with this app, okay? And I'm not going to name the companies because you can go online and you can find out who these people are. But it's very strictly limited to a small group of firms and technology firms in particular that are driving this thing. And it doesn't have a lot of allies outside of Canada. I mean, yes, there are other entities looking at it, but it's very clearly an experiment where the guinea pigs are Canadians or anybody else who wants to come to this country. And the obsession, and I call it an obsession, that the federal government, particularly the people at the immigration borders, I mean the conglomeration of IRCC, Immigration, Refugee, Citizenship Canada, has on driving this thing, in spite of the fact that the technology itself is failing continually. The internet is rife with videos of people being caught behind the eight ball because either it doesn't work or there's no Wi-Fi or what have you. I mean, we don't have to go over how many ugly cases there have been recorded. The 86-year-old guy in the wheelchair doesn't have a cell phone, is getting hassled by some representative of the health department, who's supposedly a border officer. And you look at this video and you think, you don't have something better to do than
Yeah.
this? I'm
Well,
sorry.
I had heard that the CBSA union was very not, well, I can't say against it, but not really for it, because they said a lot of the time now we're doing nothing more than IT support, trying to get people and help people get this thing filled out and up and running. And so if that's what part of their time is doing, it certainly could be better spent doing other things, that's for sure.
Well, if you're trying to sell this as a facilitation device, they failed miserably. It doesn't facilitate anything. If anything, it hinders access to Canada, and the impact is entirely negative. And w moreover, I have to say that our reputation in other jurisdictions, we look we shouldn't say we, but the Canadian experience is a joke. They think, what's happened? We're third world in some ways with this system that nobody else uses, and it's for folks like you and I have had years of experience and background with border management. You go, who dreams this stuff up? And at the end, what's the end game here? If you're trying to keep people out of the country, technologically, well, you're doing a heck of a good job. If you don't want to,
Well,
if you
you're
want to
a heck of
ruin,
a big
if you,
Canadians.
if, well, yeah, I mean, I always thought you under the charter of in Canada, and we're a Canada-based organization for this discussion, is that you have the right to enter and go and leave. It says on the first page of your passport, and in the charter of rights and freedoms. But this is totally contrary. I don't care how they've done a terrible job at selling it. They had a terrible job at implementing it, and they have a terrible job at explaining to people what is the purpose of this thing. I'm sorry, it is completely juvenile.
Well, and I don't know what the cost of this program is or isn't, and I don't know if we'd ever find out, but it would seem to me that perhaps some of that funding could be put into other things, like being able to get passports issued a little bit
It
quicker.
only takes 8 to 10 weeks now. Explain that one to me.
Yeah, well, and I guess in part of that they're saying is, well, we can't do this online. But I do know in its previous iterations, the immigration program had many processing centers where a lot of things were handled by cash or by credit card or by money order. So how that particular technology wouldn't work for the passport office, I don't understand either. But
Well, the other one I don't understand is why they have 2.7 million backlog cases for to issue visas and work permits. Now, I this is anecdotal, but my neighbor here works for the tax department. Okay, the federal tax office. She hasn't been in a tax office in over 2 years. Now she's permanently working from home, doing tax stuff. Now, if I'm to believe that there's a large percentage of the same sort of work ethic or work setup for the immigration processing and passport processing, people are all working from home. I have a real number of questions that I'd be wondering where the answers lie. For example, where's the where are you sure that your bedroom where you've got your computer set up is actually safe from intrusion by third parties, electronically or otherwise? And you're handling passport applications from your bedroom. I mean, I'm making a statement here that I can't corroborate. It's a specific case. But you know what I'm saying? All these people working from home are not working in a secure environment with access to other systems, with access to other people. There's, this is not how you run a civil service or a service to the to a country.
Especially in nowadays when Well, it hasn't been in the news a lot recently because there's been other world-shaking events, but
Yes.
we don't see very often now the cases of hacking or where ransomware or whatever. And I can't help but think if you're in this kind of an environment, how you're just opening yourself up for that type of security breach. Has the Canadian government actually been hacked and are paying out untold millions of dollars to these people to get their computers and computer systems back online from ransomware attack? We don't know.
We know nothing about this. I would really like to know how many people are actually working for the federal government who haven't set foot in office in the last 2.5 years. Because, the COVID is in the rearview mirror now, and I don't know, without a whole lot of evidence, but I suspect that one of the reasons you've got an 8 to 10 week waiting period for passports is precisely this. There's no management of this thing by professionals, in the sense of, there's an office where a whole cadre of individuals sitting down working together, cranking these things out. Why are these lineups? Why is it 2.7 million people can't get a visa? For almost a 500,000 permanent resident applications are sitting there. Where are they sitting? All over the countryside in people's laptops? And you wonder why it's so easy to be critical.
Well, a couple with that too is yes, some of this stuff can be done electronically, which again, we've touched on just how secure is that electronic transfer. But some of this stuff is still actual physical documents.
Yes.
Now, how are those? Are they coming by FedEx? Are they coming by UPS? Are they coming by Purolator, Canada Post? And how many of them are waylaid, misplaced, misfiled? They weren't requiring a signature, so they were left on a doorstep and stolen. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that you really have to shake your head about on this.
Well, it's evidently a failing system. I'm sorry. There's so many dots that can be connected here, just in open source, what's written in the papers or what's shown on in the media, of a failing public service. It's not just the passports. It's not just the CANAP, but there's all sorts of other elements, the health system, the Statistics Canada program. They're all fractured all over the place, and no one's in charge of anything. And you get the most bizarre responses from questions being made through the media or otherwise by this leadership. And you're going, what are you talking about? And how can you be proud of this track record if we're only going to focus on on the area that is of interest to our community? And you're going, who is doing what here? In the meantime, the back door up at Roxton Road is still wide open.
I saw that it was maybe the flyby news on the computer here. There have been 60,000 crossings there since January. 66,000 crossings. I go way back, but wasn't there a section within the immigration legislation said that, any place can be deemed a port of entry?
Well, I'm just astounded at how the once really looked up to public service in Canada is failing, the citizenry of this country, because it was a really well oiled, well functioning, professional public service. What they're doing now, what they're looking at, is pretty poor. Sorry. Anyway,
Anyhow, yeah, we've got issues that have to be resolved. I don't think that in our time remaining or whatever that we're going to solve these issues. Far better minds than ours are probably thinking about it, but I don't know.
yeah, well, this is I guess this is becoming the Canadian edition this week of the Border Poll Journal. Now, the last item is this controversy about the Nexus cards not being permitted to be processed by Americans in Canada. And here's another classic example of the left hand doesn't communicate with the right hand at all.
Very true. Yeah. But I, I wonder, again, does that go back to part of what we were talking about before, is because some of our Nexus people are still trying to work from home, or?
Well, apparently the Americans want to have the offices in Canada and the CBP guys walking around with their Berettas or whatever firearm they're using at the moment. I don't know. But this is interesting, because if the shoe is on the foot, they will not permit Canadian law enforcement to wander around in the U.S. doing that. Yeah. Because that's protocol. Well, excuse me, but you know, there's something peculiar about the attitude of our friends to the south. You know, whatever rule we have has to be applied to you, but not the other way around. This is supposed to be a reciprocal arrangement. Oh. This business of the Nexus card. And you know, if the Americans want to open up shop and carry a handgun while they're filling out a form on someone who wants to apply for a Nexus card, okay. Well, how about we turn that around and do the same in the U.S. with some CBSA guy doing the same thing, or woman? And you go, well, we can't do that because that's against the Constitution of America. Well, no. Well, it's not a foreign, you know, foreign government operating in the United States. I mean, we're it's a very broad brush discussion here, but. It just shows what we're some things on our page are not working very well.
Yes, that's true. Will that be resolved? Time will tell, I guess, but I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow.
No. And you know, there's a lot of things that we've been critical today with regard to the public service and in Canada and the whole border issues that are piling up to the chagrin, I'm sure, of the government, but you know, it's not, it doesn't bode well for the future, as far as I can see. And if anybody thinks that the whole issue of the Nexus card issue is in microcosm what is wrong with the relationship that Canada has on so many issues with its neighbor to the south. And you know, this approach by our American cousins, that whatever we do is our way, and whatever you do, well, it's only okay if it meets our criteria. You know, it's a tough one. And I realize that in many cases we would be seen as a junior player on some of these things, but you know what, the principles don't change. If you have an agreement that is reciprocal in nature, then you can't pick and choose what part of that reciprocity you're going to enforce
or not enforce
or accede to, you know. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. But it's certainly that's one which it. Sorry, I just cannot. It's
a bit of a conundrum. As you said, you were looking at some of the comments, and people are saying, you know, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. And I'm thinking, on the other hand, how many of those people are quite concerned with the number of handgun issues that are going on here, or are fully supporting the federal government's tactics on trying to restrict weapons? Well, you know, we can't have this as a classic suck and blow. You know, either you do or you don't.
That's right. That's right. And it is a classic suck and blow situation. But maybe we'll see if we get one of our American colleagues to come on board and explain to us, you know, how they view. I mean, frankly, at this point, it seems to me that from some think tank that wants to destroy the tourist industry in this country, they're doing a good job. I mean, if you really want to shut it down, just end pre-clearance altogether. No Nexus card required. You know, just, you know, let's just say, you know what, you go over to the States, you line up at the airports like you do here. Okay? And we've come close a couple of times since 1951. That's how long this pre-clearance thing's been around. There were times when it was very close where they said, you know what, pack up your tent, go back to the US. And it was always the airlines that saw the advantage to pre-clearance. There's been very little advantage to Canada on any number of levels. Pre-clearance has done nothing. It marginally makes tourists a little more attracted. But since COVID, what has pre-clearance done? If you look at it, nothing. It's not made any significant impact on improving the movement by air between Canada and the US. Nothing.
That's true, but one of those things that you kind of have to look at, and I think you've mentioned it before, there's so many things that we can try and dream up and talk about on our little fireside chats here, but we don't even have to dream them up. They keep falling in our lap.
Oh yeah. We haven't even talked about the things that are going on around the world vis-a-vis the
No.
economy, the protests in the Netherlands by the farmers, the issue of Panama, and they're rioting there because the cost of living is soaring. You've got a nationalist movement poking up its head in Puerto Rico, wants to
Yeah.
get out of the setup they have with the Americans at the moment. There's lots to talk about, but
Yeah.
we only have a half hour that we try to aim for, and we're just
Yeah.
about there now. So maybe
Well,
we'll.
with any luck, maybe some of our pointed points, should I say, will invoke some discussion, and maybe we'll get some good feedback from some people on this one today.
Well, let's hope. Anyway, we'll call this the Canadian edition of the Border Patrol Journal. All right, Bob. Well, listen, you
Right.
have a good week.
And you as well.
We'll see you next Friday, and I'm sure more stuff will fall in our laps that we can talk about.
That's true.
All right, Bob. Have a
Take
good
care.
one. See you next
You
Friday. All right.
too.
Bye.